What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Man, I'm so happy I tuned into Monday Night Football last night.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was a game that Bengals, Cowboys... Like, both teams are in the same spot the 49ers are in, where it's like, yeah, there's a path to the playoffs, but, like, is there really? They threw it on. I got some work done early. I figured, okay, we're going to have this game on. I see it's, like, 20-20. It's Cooper Rush and Joe Burrow just going at it. Pause. And the Bengals have a horrible sequence to get to the two-minute warning, tied at 20, and they're going to punt.
That was one of the worst series I've ever seen.
Really bad.
Like, they got to like the 45, and the next thing you know, they're like the 20 something. Like, what in the world is happening?
Yeah, they're just cruising along and then just started going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Don't love it for the Bengals, so they have to punt. The Cowboys did the thing here. In fact, you know what? Real quick, because you're right. That was a suboptimal series of downs for the Bengals. They got first and 10 at their own 46, second and 7 at their own 49. We have an offensive holding call that makes it a second and 16 at their own 40. Then we have another holding call that makes it a second and 26 at their own 30. And then Joe Burrow got sacked on third and 19 to bring up a fourth and 27. So they're punting with two
Not
minutes
ideal.
To go.
Yeah,
that's exactly what the Cowboys want. Ideally, if you're the Cowboys, you block the punt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put yourself in field goal position right away. It's exactly what they did. They blocked the punt. They did the thing, and it was like, oh my God, the Cowboys did it. And then, I'm going to butcher his last name. I apologize to this man. Amani Oruware, Cowboys defensive back playing special teams. You know when you block a punt, you get away from it.
Yeah.
You just clear out. You're going to get the ball.
Yep, it's your ball. If it goes past the line of scrimmage.
It is your ball.
Yes.
Go away from it. This Cowboys defensive back, fresh off the practice squad, by the way, for some inexplicable reason, as the ball is bouncing up to him, tries to grab it, horribly misses it. It just bounces off his arm.
Well, he's clearly a defensive back, not a wide receiver.
Right. And that ball is bouncing. It's weird. It's not like he fell on top of it. He's trying to catch a bouncing football in the middle of like three Bengals.
Oh, no. It was a bad idea.
It wasn't like he was going to grab it and he was going to try and score. It was just grabbing it. Bengals recover. They score a 40-yard touchdown three plays later, and the Bengals go on to beat the Cowboys 27-20 in an all-time funny ending if you were rooting against the Cowboys. They blocked a punt and didn't get the ball back.
They are known for their poor finishes on bonehead moves. This is like Leon Lett all over again. You're like, what is happening?
Like, at least the Leon Lett thing, like, that was, I mean,
yeah,
is what it was.
I mean, they were dominant to 6-7.
At that point. Yeah.
Kyle, I think it's really crazy. We were looking at the standings earlier. It's just how bad the NFL is this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember it ever being this bad where the teams like the 49ers and the Bengals and the Cowboys still have a shot. And they have a shot because there are so many teams that are just flat out horrific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many teams do we have? Five. We got six teams with three wins.
Yeah.
Two with two. I mean, this is just horrible football.
The AFC alone has six teams that have three or fewer wins.
That's just mind-boggling.
It's almost half the conference.
That's absolutely wild.
The NFC, by comparison, has two teams with three or fewer wins, which is a little more normal.
Yeah.
That feels a little more average. Yeah, man. I was... Mike McCarthy... I don't think Zach Taylor's a very good coach mm-hmm. for the Bengals. I think he's fine. I don't think he's great. I think he benefits a lot from having Joe Burrow, who is elite.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McCarthy... I think so there's the Fire Kyle Shanahan contingent out there. Salute to our guy TC. Speaking of which, if you want to join the program, call the Elk Grove Kia Talk line 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. Would love to hear from you. We'll be talking Monday Night Football. We got some Kings coming up. Bill Belichick is going to have a job?
No.
Maybe. We got 49ers drama on the internet last night. We'll get into all that. But the Fire Kyle Shanahan contingent, I think Mike McCarthy is the coach that the Fire Kyle Shanahan contingent thinks Kyle Shanahan is.
Yeah, and he's not that.
He's not. And that group will tell you, well, Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. No doubt. Salute. With prime Aaron Rodgers, yep, Mike McCarthy has that on his ledger for sure. But he's been a failure since then.
Mm-hmm.
Year in and year out. You see quarterback draws when you don't have a timeout to end a playoff game. And there's finishing with 12 wins every year, and you get blown out by Green Bay at home in the playoffs last year. You get routed. They've lost like six home games by 30 plus points this year.
Oh yeah, they're
something
horrible
insane
at home.
Like that.
They're 1-6 at home.
It's outrageous. Like they're just. And then you see things like last night, where you go, man, that is just. And we've talked about this with the 49ers too. To be clear. It's just McCarthy has a much longer track record of being a bad coach, where that kind of mistake, to me, comes down to coaching. It's again, bringing this back to Kyle Shanahan, it's one of, to me, Kyle Shanahan's biggest flaws is the inability to make an adjustment to whatever they're doing special teams-wise and putting a little more effort into that facet of the game so you're not losing games because of special teams catastrophes every week for the first 6 weeks. But that is the exact type of mistake that you go, of course the Mike McCarthy team does that. Of course Mike McCarthy's team is the only team in the history of the NFL that when a punt gets blocked, they don't all scatter.
Yeah, get away.
You get away from the ball.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Don't fumble it.
It's a grenade, and there's no reason to go jump on it.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's just like, of course. And that's where it's like, of course that happens to Mike McCarthy. And for some reason, the Cowboys, after this offseason, I said, man, the Cowboys should probably part ways with Mike McCarthy. And for some reason, they didn't. And for some reason, Jerry Jones seems steadfast in Mike McCarthy's the dude. And I don't understand it.
Mm-mm.
And he's the only, it feels like he's the only guy in the league that would have that happen to them.
I mean, look, the 49ers have made a ton of mistakes on special teams
so
as well.
Many.
But I don't know. I mean, their mistakes on special teams are basically one guy holds every single time he's on special teams, and he keeps going out there and playing. and I'm not sure why they allow, like, maybe there's two of them, but it always feels like it's the same exact guy who's holding the whole way down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, can you stop holding? Or hey, coach, can you not put that guy in the game right there? So, yeah, their special teams have been a mess,
mm-hmm.
and they've certainly cost some games, but, like, this is, like, a rudimentary one. This is not like somebody's got, like, three super fast guys running right at him, and he's trying to catch a ball way up in the air and is coming down and, you know, the muff punt thing. You're hoping that a guy catches a ball, but this is, like, one of those, like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Know the rules. Know the basics.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't let the ball roll all the way. I saw this, was it last weekend? Guy let the ball roll all the way down to the 1 yard line, and then he goes to down it and has his heels on the end zone line. Like, what are you thinking? And there's
really bad.
Five other guys standing there that could have just.
That happened against the Niners, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. Like, I think it was the Bills, right? You should. No, maybe it wasn't the Bills because that was in the snow.
I remember the play. I don't remember who it was.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like there are bad plays that happen all the time, but touching a punt like that, like inadvertently where it hit you in the leg or something, that's one thing. Yep. Walked into it, that's not what happened.
No.
Dude just didn't know the rules.
That was special teams guy practice squad call up trying to be a hero.
Yep.
That's tough. That might be the last play of that guy's NFL career.
Oh.
Like, he's the level of player where you're a practice squad call up contributing on special teams. You're going to revert to the practice squad. And at least that was my understanding. He was elevated because you can be promoted to the 53-man roster or you can be elevated for game day. My understanding was he was elevated for game day. He might get cut and never play again.
Yeah, you
like,
need
that's
to,
that kind of mistake.
You need to Ronnie Bell him.
That's tough. Mike McCarthy, by the way, has been the Dallas Cowboys head coach since 2020. In that 2020 season, they went 6-10.
Okay.
Then 12-5 the next 3 years. So they go 36-15 in the regular season. Do you know how many playoff wins he accumulated in those 3 years?
One. Yeah, because I know Dak only has one playoff win.
Yes.
Oh, no, he has two total, right?
He has a couple.
Yeah.
But he has one with Mike McCarthy, and it was when they beat the hell out of the Buccaneers that year, the Tom Brady's last year, where the Bucs were just finished.
Yeah.
They won that one. Salute. 31-14 in a game that was not that close. I was actually in Florida for that, and there was a dude. The Cowboys won 31-14, and the Bucs scored their two touchdowns late. They scored one in the third quarter, and then I think they got one late in the fourth quarter. But there was a guy in a Mike Evans jersey who sat there and watched every second of it. We're at a bar in Florida. Sat there the whole time.
That's how you have
salute
to
that guy.
That's how you have to
I'd have been out of there at halftime.
If you're going to go watch a game and you, or you're going to a game, you got to sit there the whole time.
I'd have been out of there after like midway through the fourth quarter.
I don't leave.
All right. I've given them all the chances to get a turnover, get a defensive score, make their way back into this one.
Well, I told you last night I was sitting at home and just the wife says, hey, can you go grab a pizza from the sports lounge?
Sure.
So me and the youngest, we drive over and I'm sitting there watching, waiting for the pizza to get done. And I'm like, okay, they go line up the punt and I'm like, hey, let's go so I can get home and watch the last 2 minutes. I get home and it's 27-20. I'm like, what in the world happened?
What the hell happened?
I live like a quarter of a mile from the place where I got the pizza. I'm like, I have to go back. I'm like, what in the world happened?
Yeah.
And you have like, they just keep panning to Micah Parsons on the sidelines, just freaking out, just having a complete meltdown. I'm like,
I get it.
And then he left.
I would too.
Like the clock's still ticking. He's like, I'm out. Just like starts walking towards the end zone.
I get it.
Yeah.
Dude, I know that like the Hail Mary loss for the Bears will be the one everybody remembers, right? We'll remember the Packers blocking a Bears field goal to win it. We'll remember the Chiefs' various calamities that have led to their 11-1 record.
Yeah, the doink.
The doink off the goalpost. They've blocked a field goal for the win. They've had Isaiah Likely's toe half an inch onto the out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
In week one. We'll remember all those. I don't know that we'll remember this Cowboys won the same way because it is just kind of a kind of inconsequential game. Even the Bengals. The Bengals are 5-8. They are three games out of a playoff spot.
Oh.
Like they are way, way out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're still in. They are they need a miracle.
Yeah.
But inconsequential game for the most part. But that's the worst loss of the year for me. Because you were going to get the ball in near the 50.
Yeah.
You're going to have great field position.
It just doesn't make any
sense. You're going to need to run three plays and then burn the clock and kick a game-winning field goal.
Mm-hmm.
You were good. You did it. You blocked the punt. You got the miracle. And then it didn't work.
It's just horrible, Kyle.
Horrible. That's the worst loss of the year for me.
I think it is.
Oh, I'd be incensed. Well, if I was a Cowboys fan, oh.
We were just reading a stat, and for the life of me, I don't remember who put the stat out there.
Yeah,
it was one of the big. I think it's Ian Rappaport that the Chiefs are 0-7 against the spread over the last seven games, and they're 6-1 over that stretch. But they don't cover. They haven't covered the spread in any game.
But they're still 6-1.
But they just keep winning. Like, it's absolutely crazy.
I can't decide if that means the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl or lose in the first round.
Well, the stat is that no one's ever won the Super Bowl when they've had a stretch of seven straight games where they didn't cover the spread.
Huh.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But I just don't know. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo and that defense, frankly, are just impervious to all this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to go win every playoff game 17-13 and go win the Super Bowl? Or are they going to face Baltimore in round one? And because that's who, if everything goes, well, no, I'm sorry. If everything goes chalk, they'd play Houston. Right now, as the playoff seeding sets, it's Baltimore at Houston.
Okay.
But let's assume Baltimore wins that one. Kansas City would be hosting Baltimore in the divisional round. Do you feel really good about Kansas City winning that one?
Absolutely not.
I don't either. But if you said, yeah, hey, Kansas City won that game 13-10. Like, of course they did. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, 17-16.
But if you also said, yeah, the Ravens went in and kind of steamrolled them, they won 28-10. Like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. They've been lucky, the Chiefs have, for sure. But in the way, I mean, we can bring this to the 49ers. The 49ers have been a little unlucky, but also they've put themselves in positions to have a little bit of bad luck torpedo their season.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Chiefs do the opposite. They put themselves in position where, yeah, a little good luck, and they're winning, what'd you say, their last 6-1, 6 out of their last yeah. 7, despite not covering, they're going to be 12-1.
Yeah, they're 12-1.
I mean...
Well, and also,
I don't want to get it twisted. You still have to be good. It's really hard to be a bad 12-1 team.
No, totally. But let's be honest here. They lost Rashi Rice for the season. Yeah. And what, week two?
Week three? Very early, yeah.
Okay. They also, Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
He tears up his shoulder and misses most of the season up to this point. Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah.
Missed what?
Dealt with
eight
some injury
games?
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, look, they have all kinds of injuries.
Travis Kelce has been a shell.
Yeah. And are they the team that their left tackle keep? No.
They have offensive line issues, specifically at the tackle spots. Their interior offensive line is really good.
Yeah, it seems like they've just signed another tackle that will start this weekend, and it'll be the third left tackle they have.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, look, I mean, they've figured out ways to deal with their issues, mm-hmm. but barely. Like, yeah. I don't think I've never seen a team win so many close games where you're like, what in the world?
Yeah, not just winning like, oh yeah, all these one score games, just winning in ridiculous fashion.
That was the fifth come from behind victory in the fourth quarter for Mahomes this season.
It's so annoying.
out of 13 games, they are so annoying.
Like, I should hate Kansas City, right? As somebody who wants the 49ers to win a Super Bowl,
yeah,
I should hate Kansas City. I just can't. I can't do it.
As someone who's had Patrick Mahomes on their fantasy team this season,
sure.
I'm literally cheering for them to lose every single weekend because, like, it's just horrific having him as a fantasy quarterback.
Yikes.
He has not been good.
Is next season the season that you punt?
Yeah, I think so.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I just every bone in my body says, yeah, hey, hate the Chiefs. I there's something about it. Just like, damn. There's a begrudging respect,
yeah.
I think, when I watch their kicker pull the field goal left, and you're like, oh, he missed. Oh, it's off the upright. Oh, of course it went in.
Yep.
Why wouldn't it go in?
Of course it went in.
Naturally.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
I think it's funny. Hate. Like, they could win the Super Bowl and be back-to-back-to-back Super Bowl winners, and I'm ready to punt their quarterback. Like, no, I don't want you on my team no more.
Well, that's right, but that's the thing is let's say they play Baltimore or Houston. I'll give respect to Houston. Let's say they play one of those two teams in the first round,
okay.
and lose. Like, the conversation will be, oh man, they need to get Mahomes some weapons. Travis Kelce, maybe Wash. They dealt with some injury stuff. Like, yeah, okay, but they, I don't think nobody thinks the Chiefs are bad now. If the Steelers were doing exactly what the Chiefs did,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, smoke and mirrors. But because they've won the last two Super Bowls, they get the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I still think
I don't think anyone's going to call them frauds if they lose in the first
round. The Steelers are 10-3, and I think we all think it's smoke and mirrors.
That's a good point.
Still,
Russell Wilson's playing great.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah, whatever. I still think it's smoke and mirrors. Like, their schedule, you looked at their schedule, and you're like, oh, they got a shot to keep winning. And when they beat Baltimore, though, it's like, okay, that's a big win.
Yeah.
But even, you know, the Commanders aren't great.
No.
You got the Browns, the Bengals, and the Browns. like their last five games, and then go back before that. They had the Giants, the Jets, the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Colts.
We're gonna learn a lot about the Steelers here. As you just mentioned, what their schedule has been. Here's what their schedule is to finish the year: at Philadelphia, at Baltimore, home Chiefs, home Bengals. That's our last four games.
Yeah, it's wild.
So we're gonna learn a lot whether the Steelers are for real or not. But hey, you don't get to 10-3 by being bad. Are they as 10-3 as the Bills? Yeah, maybe not.
No. Are they as 10-3 as the Ravens? No.
The Ravens aren't 10-3.
Yes.
Are they really?
Yeah.
The Ravens are 8-5, dog.
Oh, my bad. I was looking at Buffalo. Like they're not as 10-3 as Buffalo.
No, are they? Yeah, I don't know.
And the Ravens, I fear the Ravens way more than I fear the Steelers.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Way more.
That's interesting.
Come on now.
Ooh, do I? I'm trying to not let I have a preconceived notion about Baltimore.
Okay.
Where I think Baltimore's really good. But now they're 8-5. You see their defense struggling a little bit. They blew out the Broncos, which is pretty impressive. The Broncos have been playing well at that point, but they sneak past the Bengals. But again, division game, it's kind of weird. They lose to the Steelers. Division game, that's kind of weird. All right, Chargers win. That's a good quality win. 30-23, that's a good win. But then they lost to the Eagles.
Okay, so there was a moment this season, and maybe like 3 weeks ago, where it was a foregone conclusion that Lamar Jackson was winning the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks on an 8-5 team do not win the MVP.
Not typically.
No, on a 12-5 team, when there's going to be teams that are like one, two-win teams.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know who wins.
I guess Josh Allen's still going to win it.
Maybe.
He's just been ridiculous.
Well, 29 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions for Lamar Jackson. He only has 3 rushing touchdowns. That's where Josh Allen kills him. But yeah, I mean, he's been incredible. But I think we all thought that he was going to be the MVP, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, this is a ball game. Like,
I think there's a desire to give Josh Allen an MVP.
Okay.
The same way I feel like in the NBA, there's a desire to give Luka an MVP.
Oh no, there is.
Like,
for sure.
There's just the, oh hey, this guy's awesome. He's going to win an MVP at some point, and we're just kind of waiting to give him one. That's how I felt Josh Allen's been for the last like 3 years.
Okay.
Second in MVP voting in 2020. Wasn't there in 2021. That was the year he threw 15 interceptions, 36 touchdowns, 4,400 yards. But then the next year, third. The next year, fifth. Just he's been right there in 3 out of the last 4 years.
Okay, what if I told you that the MVP was Jared Goff?
No.
You don't buy it?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't think so.
25 touchdowns thrown, 10 picks.
How many?
10.
Mm.
72.4% completion.
Yeah, like, maybe. It's such a narrative-based thing.
It is.
And the perception of the Bills going into this year was, might be a down year. They had to cut a bunch of dudes because of contract stuff. Man, Josh Allen doesn't have any receivers. They'd trade Stephon Diggs. Oh, man. Watch out for the Bills. And Josh Allen goes out and has maybe the best season of his career. Meanwhile, the Lions, the story is, Amon-Ra St. Brown is awesome. And look at how awesome the run game is. They can run it whenever they want. And their offensive line is amazing. And yeah, Jared Goff's really good. I'm not trying to say Jared Goff is bad or anything. I'm just trying to think about what MVP voters are looking at.
Yep.
And I think there is more of a desire to give one to Josh Allen. Jared Goff will get votes. Jared Goff will be in the mix, same way Brock Purdy was last year.
I think Jalen Hurts will be in the running as well.
Yeah, any quarterback on a team that's going to win 12-plus games is going to be in the mix.
Well, that, and he's got 13 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah. The thing with the Brandon, did you follow that at all? Brandon Graham coming out and saying that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown had beef.
Oh, yeah.
But then walked it back today?
Oh, no.
Or yesterday? I don't know exactly
when
he walked it back.
I saw that somebody said that they had a beef.
Yeah, he walked it back and was like, that wasn't my place to talk about their relationship and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh.
Of course not.
Weird. Weird vibes at the Eagles, man.
They're always a weird vibe team.
They still might win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right. But they're such a weird vibe team.
I think they're the one team that if you told me that they beat the Lions in the playoffs, I would buy it.
Okay.
I think what they're doing, especially defensively, is really impressive.
I'm giving Saquon Barkley the MVP, and I'm done with it.
That's fine.
There it is.
You want to, but I would love to see a non-quarterback win it.
Yeah.
Would love it. I want that so bad. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. I'll buy, like, if you want to make the Saquon argument, I'll sit here and listen all day, and I will agree with everything you say.
Okay. So right now he's got, I mean, he's going to go over 2,000 yards.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
He's been
barring
amazing.
Injury. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's on a better pace, just production-wise, than Christian McCaffrey was last year. He's gone over 100 yards in all but 1, 2, 3, 4 games this year, and one of the games he didn't was 95 yards. The other one was the 34-6 win against Dallas where he didn't play the entire game.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, he's been incredible.
Just like we have in the chat that I need to stick to Niners talk. The Steelers defense is really good. I didn't say their defense isn't really good, but playing the schedule that they have, which again, you don't decide your own schedule. I get mm-hmm. that. But even like, let's just go through from week 4 until today.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts, the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Jets, the Giants, the Commanders, the Ravens, that's a good one, mm-hmm. the Browns. Like they played really one really good team in that stretch.
Yeah, I think the total. Steelers aren't bad, and their defense is very, very good, and maybe it carries them, and maybe they're just awesome in January.
Uh-huh.
I've just got to see that first.
Well, yeah, but I mean, their defense is really good against, I mean, just start going
through. No, their defense is, I think their defense is good.
No, I think
it is. I don't think it's crazy.
No, I think it's good too, but the fact is that, like, when you're facing whoever is playing quarterback for the Raiders, Aaron Rodgers, you're playing mm-hmm. Daniel Jones mm-hmm. in week 8. You know, you got a good young quarterback with the Commanders and the Ravens, but the Browns, whatever's happening there, like mm-hmm. they haven't really even played against that many NFL level quarterbacks throughout. Mm-hmm. They get Drew, what's his name?
Drew Lock?
No, not Drew Lock.
Tommy DeVito.
Who's a Broncos quarterback?
Bo Nix. Bo Nix's been good.
But Bo Nix in week 2, not Bo Nix
sure.
today.
Sure.
So two totally different players. So
I'm buying the Steelers.
Okay.
I don't put them in the same tier as Buffalo. And you can say what you want about Kansas City this year. I'm giving Kansas City all the benefit of the doubt.
Of course.
If this was year 1 of them being 12-1 and successful, then maybe it'd be different. But they get the benefit of the doubt for me. I think Buffalo's there. And I just, if Pittsburgh goes out and Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator, continue mm-hmm. this bond they appear to have, where they're firing on all cylinders really offensively.
Yeah.
Or at least Russ is. Let me back that up. Russell Wilson is playing better than I thought he would.
Mm-hmm.
And if George Pickens gets healthy, maybe they can be dangerous enough offensively. I just got to see that. I got to see that in the playoffs.
No, I'm with you.
But anyways, they're in the same tier as Baltimore for me, where it's like, yeah, I see it, but I gotta see you have that success in January.
But they're in the same tier as an 8-5 team yeah. in Baltimore. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think so.
Anyways. All right. Bill Belichick has a new job. Deebo Samuel, just what the Niners needed after a 4-touchdown win, some drama. With one of their star wide receivers, we'll talk about all that. Plus, Kings are in the trade rumor mill, maybe? ?
Okay,
we'll talk about it. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We are hanging out with you until noon, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. Rocking with you until noon. Want to remind everybody to join ESPN 1320 in making a child's holiday season that much brighter. Yeah, bring new unwrapped toys to our ESPN 1320 studios located in Roseville. We're doing that now through December 13th. That's Friday. We're open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekdays. All those toys that you bring are going to stay local and benefit Stanford Sierra youth and families. This holiday season, Stanford Sierra especially needs unwrapped presents for older youth ages 12 to 18 years old. So again, if you could drop those off here at our ESPN 1320 studios at 3010 Lava Ridge Court in Roseville, we would appreciate you immensely. And if you are going to swing by, let me and James know. And if we're around and available, we'll come pop out and say hi and let you know in person how much we appreciate you helping us deliver Christmas this holiday season.
That's right.
Bill Belichick has a new job, it looks like. Well, he might have a new job. It's kind of insane. I'm not going to dig super far into this because it's University of North Carolina football. And I'm not going to go do all the necessary contextual research here, okay, frankly, just to be totally honest. But Ollie Connolly, who is a writer for The Guardian, reports that Bill Belichick has agreed to become the next University of North Carolina head football coach. He handed the school a 400-page organizational Bible with structure, payment plans, staffing choices, etc. The decision on whether to commit with UNC lies with UNC. He's expected to know their decision within 24 hours. Before I continue with these details, if somebody handed me a 400-page, quote-unquote, organizational Bible, mm-hmm, I'm out.
If I was offering someone a job and they said, I'll take the job, but here is my 400 pages of demands, I too am out, Kyle.
Like, I get it, it's Bill Belichick. I understand the allure.
I get it.
I understand why, if you're North Carolina, you would want, oh, that's the best hire you can make. Or the biggest splash hire you can make. I don't know if Bill Belichick will be worth a damn as a college coach. But then he walks in and he drops this 400-page organizational Bible on your desk. Says, yeah, we got to follow these rules. And now, let me give you some additional context. This is, again, Ollie Connolly of the Guardian. Belichick's Bible would require historic levels of investment from the school. It includes salary minimums position by position and a willingness to hire two staffs, a coaching staff run by Belichick, a recruitment staff run by a sitting college GM who would require a buyout.
Clearly, he wants Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yeah, he wants Woj. Get him out of St. Bonaventure. Get him down to North Carolina. Get Woj to run North Carolina's
football program. Yeah.
Belichick has a college and pro version of his updated manual and has shared it with other schools and NFL teams, but he drafted a new one specific to UNC that touched on every aspect of the program and school. It will need sign-off from AD, chancellor, trustees, and boosters, and apparently there's already pushback from the group of 13 trustees. Belichick is unsure if the school will meet his demands and is unwilling to negotiate.
This is a, like, Jerry Maguire moment.
Bro, the unwillingness to negotiate, I was joking, I said somebody handed me a 400-page thing, but, like, it's Bill Belichick. Okay, if this is what it, the non-negotiables?
Oh, yeah.
If you're not negotiating, then we're done here. You don't actually want to be here. You don't actually want to do this.
That's what it kind of feels like. Like, right?
You'll do this if you can have all of the control. You're laying out every single step-by-step way this is going to go. I don't want to be a part of that. Even if it is Bill Belichick. It's not my bag.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Whoever North Carolina now hires, let's say they say no to Bill Belichick, which sounds nuts just on the surface. Whoever they hire is going to be underwhelming. No matter who they bring in, unless it's Nick Saban, no matter who they bring in, except for Nick Saban, it's going to feel underwhelming. And if that person doesn't perform, if they're not going to the college football playoff consistently, if they're not having great recruiting classes, UNC football fans, if there are any, are going to go, you could add Belichick. What is Bill Belichick doing all this?
Okay, but
I feel so bad for whoever the next head coach is if it's not Bill Belichick.
Is it just me or are we missing something here? I mean, this is UNC.
Yeah.
They are a basketball powerhouse.
Basketball school.
Okay, I mean,
and
sure.
A baseball school, kind of?
They've put some lacrosse? Really, really nice defensive linemen into the draft and like in the 2000s.
Salute to Julius Peppers.
Yeah, they've done a good job there, but they're not known as this football juggernaut. Mm-hmm. So,
Drake May.
Okay. I'm just confused. Okay. I'm confused why. Like, if this is...
Mitchell Trubisky?
If this is like Texas or it's like some monster football school,
right.
It's like, oh, I get this.
Yeah.
But this isn't that. This is like, hey, we're going to figure out a way to win here.
That's what it said. They're going to have to restructure and reorganize how they deal with their football program. That's kind of wild.
That's wild.
But if you're looking at the 12-team college football playoff and you're going, man, we can make a ton of money if we make the playoffs here a couple years in a row, and this guy has a plan to get us there.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm out if I'm UNC. It also has to come with a guarantee that Steve Belichick, who is on the defensive staff at UW, University of Washington right now, mm-hmm. It would be a succession plan where he would be the head coach after Bill.
Oh, that's built in too?
Yes.
There's like a built-in...
Yes.
Like,
you are committing to the Belichicks.
Okay, like there's a built-in monarchy system.
Yes.
He wants a monarchy system built into...
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
We've got King Henry VII and the VIII ready to go.
Yeah. And he wants unlimited hoodies with sleeves cut off.
Yes.
Unlimited hoodies.
Does he cut off his own sleeves or is there a person who does it for him? I don't know.
A dedicated sleeve cutter offer. It's in the 400 pages.
If I was going to do that, if I was going to do a 400-page organizational Bible, like if I did that for this show and I said, hey, this is how the show needs to go, here's 400 pages on it, I would definitely tuck in on page 294, just something silly like that. Like, I require one bag of M&Ms every day.
And then you'd be like, hey, how come you're not living up to the thing? It's like, well, I read part of it.
Like, yeah, I skimmed it.
I skimmed it.
Yeah, was it Van Halen that did that?
Oh, probably.
There was a band, and the Chatty House may know. I think I'm going to say Van Halen without certainty it was Van Halen. They would write into their contract silly stuff like the M&Ms in the green room can only be one color, whatever, some certain color, just to see if they were reading the contract.
Okay.
That's kind of what I would do.
All right. They're like an elf. The writer they brought in to
Miles?
Yes.
What was his name?
It is Miles something.
Miles Greenway?
Oh, I can't remember.
No, it's Greenway is something in that movie. Miles.
Oh man.
Oh, it was Van Halen. Someone said it was Van Halen.
It is Van Halen that
Miles Finch. Thank
Miles
you, Soren.
Finch.
Miles Finch.
Yes, there we go.
That's it.
That's right. Maybe that's
no
where
vegetables.
They found that.
Too vulnerable.
This whole story's about a peach. Is there a more vulnerable fruit than a peach?
That's James and Kyle. We're the insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Debo Samuel. Been having a rough year. The 49ers former All-Pro wide receiver had two catches for 22 yards on Sunday. He had five carries for 13 yards. At halftime, he had three carries for negative 3 yards. And on a day where everything was working offensively, the Debo Samuel stuff was still not working. This season, Samuel has 92 rushing yards and one touchdown on 32 carries. And he has 553 receiving yards and one touchdown on 40 receptions. He took to Twitter yesterday.
Uh-oh.
After his team won 38-13, after his team finally played with some urgency, they scored more than 30 points for the first time since week 6. They scored more than 17 points for the first time since week 10. Finally, right the ship, and you got Debo Samuel firing off on Twitter in a since-deleted tweet. Not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. with 7 exclamation points.
Anything more than 4 is egregious.
It's too many.
Yeah. I actually,
frustration.
Sometimes I sort of 3. 3 is the number to emphatically say something.
Yeah.
You go 7, it
that's
seems
a good number.
A little bit like possession after possession after possession.
Yeah, because 3 is like I'm mad 1 2 3.
Yep.
You get to 7, you're hammering that exclamation point. There's anger in that. But anyways, getting away from that. He then tweeted, just because I voiced my opinions, don't mean I'm hating on any of my teammates. Be for real. All right, that's fair. I'll buy that.
Okay.
Here's what I don't buy. I'm not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. Let's talk about it. He's receiving 6 touches a game this year. That is down from 6.5 last year. He was over 7 the year before that. The problem is not opportunities. Debo is not getting the ball as much because he's not as good. That's the bottom line. And I can give you numbers. I'm going to skip the numbers. His broken tackles are way down. His yards after contact, way down. His yards after catch per reception, way down. All of those numbers, all those numbers that were the foundation of what he was as a player are gone. They are bottom of the barrel, lowest of his career across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the numbers though. Watch him play football. Watch Debo Samuel and tell me that that's the same player that he was. I'm not even going to go to 2021 because I don't think he'll ever be that player again. I said it during that season. I said, man, he'll probably never do this again. This is remarkable. We may never see anything like 2021 Debo Samuel again at the wide receiver position. 1,400 receiving yards, almost 400 rushing yards. Was it 18 touchdowns?
He had 6 receiving and 8 14 rushing. Touchdowns. 8 rushing.
Yep. He was unbelievable.
Yep.
Didn't think we... So let's just go to last year. And you can tell he's just not the same guy. He doesn't get to the corner. He doesn't turn the corner. He's not breaking tackles. I don't need Pro Football Focus analytics to tell me all this. It's like, yeah, dog, you're not getting the ball because you're not as good anymore. Tweeting that doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
We all, like, nobody believes you. What's the goal here? You can go down to Kyle Shanahan's office. You're Debo freaking Samuel, bro. You can go down to Kyle Shanahan's office and knock on the door and go, hey, man, I think that I'm not getting enough opportunities to help the team. That's it. You can just go do that.
Yeah, I don't think that going to Twitter has ever helped anyone.
Never.
Or
not
Instagram.
Once have I seen an athlete tweet something in frustration about whether it's themselves or their coach or their teammates. Never once have I seen an angry tweet from an athlete and been like, oh yeah, that's the move.
That's going to be what fixes everything.
This is going to help.
This is going to pull them all together. All together.
And the follow-up, just because I voiced my opinions doesn't mean I'm hating on any of my teammates. Before, like, okay, understood. He's not saying, hey, George Kittle shouldn't get the ball, I should. He's just saying he should get more opportunities. He had 7 touches on Sunday. And he had 35 yards in those 7 touches. His longest carry was 8 yards. His longest carry of the season, 12 yards. You're not as good of a player.
No.
And it's been clear to anybody who watches the 49ers this year. I don't understand this. This is not like Debo is, and let me say this. Debo is a foundational piece of what the 49ers have been for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. You can't tell the story of the Kyle Shanahan era without having Debo Samuel front and center of that story. There is a generation of 49er fans who are going to be Debo Samuel fans the rest of their lives. You go, I was at Levi Stadium on Sunday. A lot of number 19 jerseys, a lot of number 1 jerseys with Samuel on the back. But it's reached a point where when he motions into the backfield, several people in my section are like, no. Don't give him the ball. And then they hand it to him and it's like, ugh. As the play's happening, people are like, nope, not going anywhere.
Yeah. He's a shell, man. He is. He's a shell of himself, and this happens in the NFL. I mean, we watch players who are just so dynamic and so good, and then all of a sudden they're not. I mean, like, and wide receivers are notorious for this, but, like, that's why running backs get 4-year deals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and to be honest with you, he's more of a running back than he is a receiver at this point. You know, he's got like 5 drops on the season, and a couple of them are very, very costly drops. Mm-hmm. And he just hasn't been great. And you know what? While he's not been great, Juwan Jennings is out there doing what he can.
Being outstanding.
He's going out there and he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver.
That's like, crazy. Is that, he really?
Yeah, he's well on pace. I think he's over 800 yards. He's on pace to be a 1,000-yard wide receiver.
He's at 774.
Okay.
So they got 4 games left.
Oh, yeah.
And he needs
26 yards.
26? Yeah, you can get there.
Yeah. I mean, with the way he's playing, heck yeah, you can get there. Yeah. So, I mean, Kittle will go over 1,000 yards again.
He should. Yep.
And so should Jennings. And it, you know, so it's not like the offense just stopped. It's like he stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough. It was
so glaring because, look, it was the first, the first sign to me that, oh man, maybe he's not right.
Mm-hmm.
It was in week 10 against Tampa Bay. They ran a jet sweep and the defensive tackle beat Debo to the corner.
Oh, that's not good.
And I was willing to go, okay, maybe it was a scheme thing. I don't know. Okay, fine. But that was the first. The big red flags went up in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Backup quarterback, cold game. That used to be Debo time. That used to be screens for Debo, handoffs to Debo. They are going to get him involved, and he is going to be the guy who carries the offense. They designed one touch for him, and it was not a run play. It was the double reverse flea flicker screen pass thing.
Mm.
That last year he probably houses, and he didn't. That's when the big red flags went up for me. But okay. Cold game, backup quarterback. You're already down because you lost to the Seahawks. Okay, fine. The Buffalo game, okay, fine. It was cold and McCaffrey went out and you're down a million and game script and it's snowing. Okay, fine, I'll even give you that. It was so glaring on Sunday when the entire 49ers offense is cooking. George Kittle, cooking. Isaac Arendo, cooking. Brock Purdy, looks like MVP level Brock Purdy again.
Yep.
George Kittle, Juwan Jennings, cooking. Debo Samuel, not cooking. 7 touches, 35 yards. And of those 35 yards, 20 of them came on his first reception. So you had 4 more touches for 15 yards.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, 6 more touches for 15 yards.
It just feels like it's so easy to see where he won't be there going forward.
Right, especially if he's going to go out and throw his coach under the bus on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because that's what that is. He can say all he wants. I'm not blaming anybody. It's just my opinion. Like, no, you're expressing your opinion that they're not getting the ball enough, which, okay, there's 2 people that can be. That's Kyle Shanahan's fault, or that's Brock Purdy's fault.
Brock Purdy's fault, yeah.
Those are your 2 options.
We had an interesting situation with Mike Brown the other day in pregame, and it was about, hey, how do you get player X more shots? And he said straight up, he said, we will call plays on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but just so you know, the players on the court have the authority to supersede our play call every single time, except for maybe like a last second, end of the game play. Every right. single other play, they have ultimate carte blanche to do whatever they want on the court. If Domantas Sabonis wants the ball, he raises his hand, walks up to the top, calls for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
He's like, if De'Aaron Fox decides he's going to do something, he'll call out something, or he'll call for a screen. He'll use that screen and he'll go create for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, they know what they're doing in the flow of the game, and they get to do whatever they want on the field, mm-hmm. On the court.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, is there a player who's not getting enough shots certain games? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go ask for it.
Right.
It's there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's built into our system.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, if you want to be a guy who gets more involved, then go get more involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And so that's not the way it is for Debo. Clearly, there are plays that have to be run for him. But I also have watched Brock Purdy stand in the pocket this season in particular way longer than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there going through progressions. If Debo's wide open, he's not going to not throw to Debo just because.
Right.
There's a reason why he's not getting the ball. And whether it's that he's not getting separation or he's not getting enough separation, because that seems to be one of the problems I've seen with him. He's not getting enough separation. And so Purdy's looking at him like, okay, well, I can't. There's somebody else lurking there. I can't squeeze the ball into that window.
Right.
And not risk making a mistake for us as a team.
That's it.
So.
And he got, I'm gonna call these opportunities. This is carries and targets.
Mm-hmm.
8 against Chicago. 8. Against Buffalo, 5. But again, weird game script. Okay. Green Bay, 4. Seattle, 8. Tampa Bay, 9. Dallas, 11. It's not like he's not involved. Mm-mm. He's just not producing,
yeah.
Which is the problem. And I think Deebo Samuel goes on Twitter and sees people pointing to his counting stats, saying, oh, he's only on pace for this many yards. But that's, people are using numbers to convey what they're seeing with their eyes. And that's that Deebo Samuel's not the same dude.
Yeah.
And if he thinks it's opportunity related, well, he's wrong. Just to be frank.
Yeah.
5 carries for 13 yards. Here's, in every game that he's gotten 3+ carries this year, 5 for 13 against Chicago with a long of 8, which means he had 5 yards on his other 4 carries. 3 for 14 against Tampa Bay with a long of 12, which means he had 2 yards on his other 2 carries. 4 for 15 against Dallas. 4 for 15 against Seattle in week 6 on Thursday night. 3 for 9 against Arizona, and 8 for 23 against the Jets.
Hmm.
This is not good enough, man.
I'm just looking at even on NFL football reference. Last year, as a receiver, he had 13 broken tackles as a receiver and another 4 as a running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 4 total this year, as opposed to 17 broken tackles the year before. And, you know, again, in his prime, 22 broken tackles in the 2021 season. But every season after that, 15, 17, and all of a sudden it's 4.
Yeah.
You're just not the same dynamic player.
That's it.
For whatever reason. I don't know what it is.
That's it. And that's why I'm going to stop short of calling him washed. Maybe. But he was good last year. And not as effective as he was in 2021, but again, I understood in 2021 that he was probably never going to be that player again, but he was still an effective player last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he woke up washed. I don't think Deebo Samuel woke up in week 2 and went, nah, I'm not good anymore. So maybe he's banged up. It would not shock me at all.
Did we get the Fred Warner announcement? I've been playing with a broken ankle the whole time.
Right, and this is me speculating. Total speculation here. But it wouldn't shock me, and again, I am making this up. This is not reporting. I am a guy with a microphone speculating. It wouldn't shock me at all if we got that notification that, oh yeah, Deebo Samuel is out in week 18, or Deebo Samuel is having surgery on this in the offseason.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me one bit, because that would help explain whatever this is this season.
Yeah, especially at you know, 27, 28. I mean, you don't usually lose your, well, 28 going on 29. But as a receiver, you don't usually lose your fastball this quick.
Yeah, right. This fast. Like, it's not just the fall up, it's how steep it's been.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. And now he's taking to Twitter to vent his frustration.
Especially
cool, man.
When you don't even have McCaffrey to catch balls, or you don't have Ayuk to catch balls. Like, the fact that he's just wilted under that is crazy.
Yeah. This is used to be where he shined.
Yeah.
Now he's struggling. Anyways, shout out to Deebo. Jimmy Butler on the trading block?
Mm-hmm.
Should the Kings be involved?
No.
The Brooklyn Nets collectively on the trading block? Should the Kings be involved? We'll talk about all of that coming up. And the NBA Cup schedule stinks. I want to get to that as well. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We have a second hour coming up right here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.